There it is. Praise God. Yes, Romans 10, 13. My son, Darren, and I were driving along the other day and we were listening to the news, and on the news, they were talking about all, my gosh, the situation around this world. There's such, and Darren just flat out said, the world's just getting so wicked. And it is. There's so much wickedness out there and so much evil, and so much more so as the end draws near. It shall be. God's word said so. And so much more so do we need to proclaim the gospel message to a lost and broken world, to people who are desperate, in need, and haven't any inkling. Many have no idea about the gospel message. But we're reading from Romans 10, beginning at verse 13. I'm reading from the King James today. I guess when I was preparing this message, I was feeling very old world. And so reading, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, I'm just going to read. And the angel spoke to the shepherds on the night of Christ's birth, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I tied these together because we are to bring glad tidings of good things, and not just any good things. I mean, I could tell you about my favorite restaurant, or a great deal I found, or a wonderful person I met, or a great book I read. That's good things. But heavens, that's not the good things we're talking about here. The good thing we know is the gospel. Gospel literally means the good news. And it's the greatest good news. And in fact, the angel declared that to the shepherds. For I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now getting back to Romans 10, I'm just going to see if you notice the words I'm going to accentuate, or you'll get a sense of, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Keeping that in mind, there's a saying that has been wrongly attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I disagree. To those who would lean heavy on this idea that we need not tell people about Jesus, or actually preach the gospel, that they will somehow receive it because we live it. We should live the gospel. Well, here's the fact of the matter is, St. Francis never said that. And only since about 1990, people have been using this quote and attributing it wrongly to him. You'll find it in books such as Conspiracy of Kindness. It says, witness for Christ each day, and if necessary, use words. Or another book from 1994, always remember to preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words, is what they say. And that's from the Short-Term Missions Boom, a guide to international and domestic involvement. And that, yeah, okay. Wherever you go, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. You see that same idea again. And that is found in a book from 1995, released in 95, entitled What They Don't Always Teach You at a Christian College. And another one, The Basics of Life, 1998. Share the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Here's another one. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. This is from the Boomerang Mandate, returning the ministry to the people of God. And lastly, there's another, do all you can to preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. The Lord is My Shepherd is the name of the book, great name of a book. And I'm sure these are good books. I'm not criticizing the book per se, but I am just saying that, and I don't know the context in which they say these statements. But you can see how so often St. Francis is, I think he's just being wrongly, well, he's being misquoted. One more, I just want to share. This one says, Ceasefire, the War is Over is the name of the book. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Ceasefire, the War is Over, and the quote is, Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. I mean, they're close, but this is what he said. Love one another, as the Lord says. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Good. And let them show their love by their works they do for each other, according as the apostle says. Let us not love in word or in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. That's from Francis of Assisi. That is rule of 1221, rule 11, that the brothers ought to not speak or detract, but ought to love one another. I mean, this is what he said. It doesn't mean don't speak. It means yes, both. I think we can appreciate that what they're getting at, and it's fine. As Christians, we most certainly should live in such a way as our lives point to the person of Jesus Christ, and that our lives agree with what we say. Our words should echo our lives. There should be a confirmation. Otherwise, the word hypocrite gets thrown around a lot. Mark Galli has pointed out that there is no record of Francis, a member of the preaching order, uttering anything close to this. In fact, everything we know about the man suggests he would not have agreed with such a supposed quote. He was well known for his preaching and often preached up to five times a day. I don't think he got up in front of everybody and just smiled at them. He preached the word five times a day. I've heard it said also, and this was on the radio, and every time they say it, I go, it says, it's harder to live one message than to preach 10 messages. No, it isn't. It's actually hard to preach 10 messages, especially all you've labored over and you've given birth to and you've wrestled with and you've ensured that it's sound what you're saying, and you know, you want to get it right. You want to handle the word rightly. And that is a major responsibility. Living the word should be rather natural for us at this point. That we as Christians should be able to walk. We walk in the light. We are walking by the Spirit. It should not be that difficult for us to, I don't know, be nice, to love one another, to just follow the commandments, if you will. I mean, I don't think it would be that hard. But I appreciate what they're saying, but I appreciate all the more. I read this article recently by Ed Stetzer. But he says, preach the gospel, and since it's necessary, use words. And since it's necessary, use words. Wordless ministry is a compelling approach because, as they say, words are cheap, and actions speak louder than words. Perhaps, but at some point, you better say something. preach the gospel, use words, goes hand in hand with what the Word of God says. And our postmodern society assumes that we should say nothing. In fact, they would love that us Christians would stop talking altogether. If we would just be quiet. Stop praying in schools. Stop worshiping God. Stop attributing to God the miraculous. Just be quiet, you Christians. Isn't that what the world wants? So how can we agree with the idea of, please, you know, try to avoid words if at all possible? Oh, no. Please, do the other. Do the opposite. Jesus, Paul, all the prophets preached. Always they preached in love. Amazing. Their words agreed with their action, and it was all in love. Of course, as I said, our actions must match our words as much as possible. But the gospel is a message. It's news. It's good news, not good behavior. It's news about an event, about a historical truth, a fact, about a person upon which all Christianity stands. It's about Jesus. We know that. It's got to be about Jesus. And that's the problem. The quote, it doesn't matter who said it, but it's not quite right. Christians are often encouraged to live out the gospel. Well, that's nice. To be the gospel to our neighbors. It's helpful, but you can't live a message of the gospel. Honestly, how can you live out Jesus saves, Jesus saves? Proclaim it. Man, I love that song. Judy selected, she asked me, what am I preaching about? And I said, about this. And she immediately went to that song. Did you hear what it said? It said, proclaim this glorious news. Shout it. Shout it from the mountains high, I believe it said. I mean, what a beautiful, beautiful illustration. That song again and again repeats. You know, you have to shout it out. Share it with the world. What a beautiful message we have. The Apostle Paul summarized the gospel as the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through whom sin is atoned for, sinners are reconciled to God, and the hope of the resurrection awaits all who believe. Now, I like charades, but I don't know how I could do that. That would be the ultimate, toughest charade ever. And if I was able to somehow act it out and you people got that, out of any amount of actions that I do, good luck. It's just not going to happen. The gospel is not a habit. It's history. The gospel is the declaration of something that actually happened. And since the gospel is the saving work of Jesus, it isn't something we can do, but is something we must announce. We do live out its implications. But if we are to make the gospel known, we must do it through words. And that's hard. It's very hard. In fact, I would suggest that the proclamation, the emphasis on proclaiming the gospel, is waning in the church. We don't share Jesus like we used to. I came to Christ because somebody told me. Somebody passed it on. Somebody told me the truth. It was a preacher. Thank you, Lord. Ross Penoyer, beautiful man of God. Just a lovely example. And yeah, his life speaks of love, most certainly. But he told me the truth. The night that I was converted, the night I received Christ as Lord, the man left his pulpit, walked down to where I was sitting, white-knuckling the pew in front of me, refusing to get up, refusing to even look up. I didn't want anything to do with this goings-on. as they were inviting people to come forward to receive Christ as Lord in this evening service with the organ playing, Melva playing just so beautifully. I heard it this morning. I loved that. And he came to me and he spoke to me. The man spoke to me. And he said what I needed to hear, and he challenged me, and he invited me to receive Christ as Lord, and everything that I received came out of his mouth. Everything he said, I heard. And how will they believe if they have not heard? And how will they hear if someone does not come and say it to them? Well, he said it to me. Thank you, Jesus. He said it to me. He left his pulpit and walked down to further down the aisle, and he came to me, and he knew it wasn't going to be easy. How uncomfortable might that have been for him? I mean, I wasn't this open and charming man that I am today back then. Why do you laugh at that? And, you know, I mean... he didn't know what's going to happen next. I mean, can you imagine walking up to somebody who's pretty much a stranger to you, who certainly you can't relate to in any way, less than half your age, and he doesn't look right, and you just put yourself out there. He did that, and because of that, I received Christ as Lord that evening. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Best night of my life. Oh my. And it was the best decision I've ever made. Changed everything. Turned my world upside up. Hallelujah. We can't be the good news, folks, but we can herald it. We can shout it. We can sing it. We can speak it. We can preach it to all who will listen, and maybe in a few who won't. I mean, we have to. Because this is a desperate world. This is a hopeless world. This is a lost world. And those who have not found Christ are in great need of a Savior. Oh, we got to find them. We got to help them. For the Word says, the Apostle made it very clear. Paul, he says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him that have not believed? And how can they believe they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher?" We got to hear the Word. And please understand, the words are not cheap. God gave us His Word. That is not cheap. And in John 1, it says, "And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," it goes on to say. Jesus is the Word. Oh, he's not cheap. He is the most precious. His name is above every other name. Oh, what a name that we get to know his name. Not a cheap name and not a cheap word. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And everything that came into being by the Word. He spoke it. Let it be. Let it be. And it was so. The Word is hugely important. And God has chosen that we share the Word. That's the only way people get saved, is that we bring the Word to those who need to hear the Word. The very existence of the Bible indicates God's express intent to communicate with words. Can you imagine if we just had to try to figure him out? That we would just try to observe his behaviors, his activity, and go, "Oh, okay, we get it." Hardly. Hardly. We'd be worshiping the sun, the moon, and more gods that we could figure out, because we know there is a need. There is a God, and there is a need for us to find that God to fill that space in us. But would we find the true God if he had never spoke to us, if he had never given us his Word? The first thing God did was speak. That's what God's Word says. The first thing he did was speak. And his people are told to speak too. And in fact, Paul's final words to Timothy, his young protege, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. There it is. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside by fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. That's not just for Timothy. Though it was written to Timothy, the word is for you, and it's for me. It's not for just evangelists or for pastors. It's for every one of us. Preach the word. Amen. We used to sing a song, "They will know we are Christians by our love." But they also have to know we are Christians. Otherwise, if we are just really good neighbors, say, and we're really good employees, say, and we are really good families, for example. I mean, we could do really, really well in every way. But if they never knew we were Christian, they'll say, "Aren't you something? Aren't you something? Aren't you something? Look at that man. What an example. Oh, be like that man." Well, how about that person? We should, I don't know, honor that person. We should have a dinner for him. You know, I mean, he should be Father of the Year. Get him a mug and a tie. I don't know. And we should do something. I mean, he's Employee of the Month every month. His picture, every month after month. It's Andrew, every month. Best employee of the, oh, wait a minute, Pastor Jude, best employee. What am I thinking? I blew that. Every month I put a picture of her up, but if they never knew you were a Christian, I mean, how are they going to know? At some point you'd have to say, "To God be the glory." At some point you have to say, "Here's why I am who I am." At some point it would be so good to share your testimony and say, "Yeah, but I want to tell you, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's, don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Don't admire me. Admire Jesus. Don't put my picture up, please. Do not make me the example. Jesus is our example." That's what we have to do. By all means, we will. They will know we are Christians by our love. And in John 13, it echoes that, and that's correct. "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." But you know, to truly be loving, wouldn't you want a dying world to know Christ as Lord? That's the most loving thing you can do. You can give a man food to eat, or money for whatever project, or a shelter, those who are homeless. You could give them clothing, you can give them medicine, and that will help. And that will do some good. But the absolute greatest good we know is Jesus. In fact, when we do these efforts to help those in need around the world, you can be sure the gospel message is shared with everyone who receives that water, that food, that clothing, that shelter. We're not a social network. We're family. We need to tell each other what needs to be heard, what needs to be said. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they will know we are Christians by our love. By our love. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love. And they will know we are Christians as we guard each other's dignity and save each other's pride. That's a nice thing. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. Hey, it got to that. There you go. That's exactly right. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And together, we will spread the news, the gospel news, that God is in our land. That's, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. The Great Commission is not a suggestion. And Jesus came and spoke to them. Oh, he was talking. Saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. You're going to have to say this. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then you're going to have to talk some more. Sorry. Teaching them to observe that all I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I do not see anywhere where it says, and try to be quiet about it. Go, and then we also in Mark, I mean, he takes the Great Commission and just squishes it like this. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. There it is. Jesus told us to preach, disciple, and teach. And at the beginning of Acts, they preached the gospel in the city and won a large number of disciples, we read. And then they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Paul, he was going around preaching it. I just love that. And even if it becomes illegal, will you preach it? I mean, look at Peter and John. Were they not arrested for preaching? Oh, if only they had heard that misquote of St. Francis. And if necessary, use words. They went, oh, well, actually, we have an out. We don't really need to preach it. Let's just show them our love. We'll just love them quietly. Peter and John were actually arrested, and they were whipped, and there was all kinds of suffering that took place because of it. They were put in prison, and we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 19, 20, they are told, you must be quiet. Do not speak of this Jesus anymore. And their answer, we cannot stop speaking about what we have heard and what we have seen. We cannot stop speaking about him. We're in prison, but we're going to keep speaking about him. We're in prison, but we're going to be singing about him. We're in prison, and we will even die for him. And we just love how that story plays out. Hallelujah. We are to speak the truth in love. Now there's the whole idea. By our love, by all means. Speaking the truth in love. This is what Paul says. We are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Beautiful. Hallelujah. And the truth shall set you free. So by all means, ladies and gentlemen, I think you've heard enough from me. I think you've heard enough from the Word, and you know what is required of you. Make sure you speak the Word in such a way that it can be understood by your audience. That's what Paul did, wherever he went. He spoke to them in their context. That's what Jesus did. When he spoke to farmers, he spoke of farming. When he spoke to fishermen, he spoke of fishing. But he told them the truth. Make it sincere that the good news rightly is reflected in your good life, in your good living, and your love. It's a very serious matter. And by all means, preach it outside the church. It's easy to be Christian here. Preach it at your workplace, that's tough. Got to be real careful. Don't want you to get fired. But when opportunity presents itself, and it will, it does. I know Judy used to work at Arangus, I think, and one of those places you worked, and she'd pull out her Bible and read it in the lunchroom. Well, guess what happens next? Hey, what do you got there? Really? You believe that stuff? Well, yeah. Let me tell you something or two. Well, I have a question. Or perhaps in a situation, hey, I don't want anybody to know this, but could you pray for me? That'll happen too, by all means. I mean, these things happen. I mean, we certainly don't want to, I don't know, if you're working in a warehouse, get on the forklift and have stand on a pallet and have somebody raise that thing up real high and say, listen to me, all you warehouse men, you need Jesus. They'll tip that thing on and down you will go. Don't do it like that because then you'll be looking for a job tomorrow. I mean, but we know better than that. We've got to be wise. We get it. And they will. They will know. Let your words be heard in your home, at your workplace, at the hospital. Oh, my. In prison, I suppose. Everywhere and anywhere that opportunity presents itself. Maybe we just have to be reminded to be bold again and to love people enough to tell them the truth, even if it's uncomfortable. So preach the gospel. Use words. They are necessary. Be clear. Be bold. Inside and outside the church. Follow Jesus' example. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you've spoken words to us. Thank you you've given words to us that we ought to repeat. We ought to share. We thank you, Lord, that we have this wonderful, wonderful testimony, each one of us. It's personal. And it's not our story. It's the story of you in our lives. It's the act of Jesus coming into our lives and into our hearts. And we pray that you will give us opportunity and boldness, clarity. And we pray that each one of us will have that great privilege of leading someone, or many, many someones, to the throne room of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said, amen, amen. I'm going to go to this mic. It sings better. Let's stand together. And we'll sing, Take My Life and Let It Be. Is that all? Just give him our whole life. Amen.